are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to a new edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. And you are with Patricia Traina. I am your host. I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. You can follow all my work on my Twitter account at Patricia_Traina. And we are starting a brand new week with another Victory Monday. And who better to join me to break it all down than my good friend Chris Bisiano of Giant Insider. And we've got another win, Chris. This is so awesome.
Patty, hey, thanks for having me on again. And yeah, I tell you what a nice win today, huh?
Oh,
take it easy. No tension. You know, not at the edge of your seat, not biting your fingernails. It was a nice one today.
It definitely was. And you know what, Chris? This is how it was meant to be. This is how I think they drew it up in the offseason, what they wanted to see from the offense, what they wanted to see from the defense, what they wanted to see on special teams, and just an overall team victory because they stayed the course.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, you hit it right on the head, man. This is what you expect. You know, Saquon doing his thing, Eli doing his thing, defense doing enough. You know, they played really well. You know, they took Peterson out of the game early. And they gave up some garbage touchdowns at the end. But I tell you what, how about Eli? You know, some beautiful throws today. Two touchdown passes today, bootlegging to the right. Saquon was just, I guess we could just say Patty, Saquon was Saquon, right?
Yes, he was. And they did all this without Odell Beckham Jr. too.
Yeah, no Odell. Just an unbelievable effort. I'm so happy for the organization. You know, 5-8 now, finishing strong. And yeah, this was the blueprint at the beginning of the year. It didn't work that way. Had to make some changes to the offensive line, but now they seem to be doing their thing, Pat.
Definitely. And let's start off with the offensive side of the ball. You know, we mentioned Eli Manning, 14 of 22, 197 yards, was sacked a couple of times, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 132 passer rating. And the offensive line did a pretty good job against Ryan Kerrigan, who, let's face it, he's been a thorn in their side the last 3 games. I think he's had multiple game sacks. And if I remember correctly, in the first game earlier this year, didn't he destroy the right side of the line?
Yeah. Yes, he did. I thought Chad Will, yeah, he's got 10.5 career sacks on Eli. I mean, he's a giant killer. You know, I thought Chad Will did a pretty decent job on him. Like, Kerrigan didn't blow up the game like he did early in the year, like he has done in the past against the Giants. So, yeah, I felt they did a good job at him. You know, they checked him a few times. I thought Wheeler held his own. Good enough job to give Eli enough time during a lot of the game, and that was big.
That was huge indeed. And Eli, as you said earlier, made some nice throws down the field. Now, the beauty thing about what Eli's been doing is he hasn't really been targeting one specific receiver. He's been spreading the ball around equally almost. Let's see, Saquon Barkley, 5 targets. Ingram had 5 targets. Corey Coleman, 2. Sterling Shepard, 6. Russell Shepard, 4. And then, you know, a toss here to Penny, Fowler, Gallman. So just a real good job as opposed to, you know, honing in on the one receiver like they used to do when it was just Odell.
Yeah, listen, Odell wasn't there, so he spread it around more. Listen, Odell's a dynamic receiver, Pat. He's going to get, you know, a large majority of the targets. We know that. So they adjusted well. Eli spread it around really well, ran the ball really well. What could you say, Pat? It was just that's not a bad defense there in Washington.
No,
okay?
No, definitely.
That's not a bad defense. They got a pretty good front seven over there, and their back end has been playing pretty decent too. So that was just a great all-around effort from Eli today and the offense.
And we have to talk about Saquon. I mean, this kid is amazing. 170 yards, 14 carries, 12.1 average, a long of 78, 1 touchdown run. He becomes the first Giants rusher to have a 1,000-yard season since 2012 when Ahmad Bradshaw did it. And it was funny, Chris, after the game, what's the one thing this kid is talking about how he I know. Put his team down because he had a drop ball earlier in the game.
Patty, when he dropped that ball, that was the first thing I tweeted, was that watch Saquon. With all he has done this game and all that he's doing, he is going to talk about that drop pass. And sure enough, that's what he did. That's the type of kid he is, Patty. He's a perfectionist. And he ran for 170 touchdowns all over the field, going crazy. And he's pissed off that he dropped that one pass. And you got to love it, Pat, right? You have to love it with this kid.
Absolutely.
He's just, and folks, listen, me and Patty could tell you, it's not an act. This isn't some like bull, you know what, game that he plays to try to, you know, make himself off to something to the media. This is the real Saquon, right, Pat? We've seen him from day one. Been around him from day one, and this is exactly who he is. He's a perfectionist. He's a great kid, and things like that really bother him. And I tell you what, man, just Patty, that is the first ball since last April, Pat, that he could have caught that he dropped that I remember. I'm not talking about there's been a couple balls this year where he could have come down with it and he didn't. I'm talking about the first pass, Pat, including training camp, OTAs, everything. The first pass that he should have caught that he dropped. The first one, folks, and we are now, what, December 9th. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And but you know what, Chris? I have a feeling that the Giants let him get on the train ride home, that they didn't force him to walk home.
Yeah, no, I think he might have got a ticket, Pat. I agree with you.
Although I'm sure he was willing to walk home after dropping that pass, because that's just the way this kid is. I mean, he has been everything they thought he would be and then some. And what a breath of fresh air. And you know what? I've been saying this all along, Chris, when people were talking about the quarterback and the offense and everything. I said, watch what a good running game will do for this offense, what it will do for this quarterback. And here, I'm going to give you a couple of stats here. The Giants ended up rushing the ball 34 times. They passed it 27 times. Of the 27, 22 pass attempts for Eli Manning. How happy do you think Eli Manning must be that he doesn't have to throw the ball 30 or 40 times or 50 times a game?
Oh, Patty, I mean, without question. You know, I mean, this. Listen, when Eli won Super Bowls, you know, and the Giants won those two times, you know, they had a good running game, good offensive line, play action, Pat. You know, the play action setting up the pass for Eli because they had that solid run game, you know, and now Eli has that back. All right, is it a coincidence, Pat, that they're 4-1 since the bye and Shermer has basically adjusted? He's sticking to the run. Saquon's doing his thing. Offensive line's playing better with Jamon coming aboard. And Eli's looked that much better the last five games. Coincidence, Pat?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, my friend. No. This is what a running game does for a quarterback.
And this is what I've been screaming about all year long. I've been screaming for balance. Don't give up on the run. Stick with the run. And you know, now, like you said, the offensive line's playing better. They're able to run the ball. And now Eli Manning's got to be loving what he is seeing.
Absolutely, Pat. Absolutely. Eli on the center, you know, going with the play action, like I just said. Going with some fullback with Penny in there. You know, this is what Eli's about. This is when he had his best years, Pat, when Gilbride was doing his play action, the eye, you know, with the fullback doing his thing. So I'm happy for Eli, you know, playing well. Team's playing well. And if anybody thinks Eli Manning definitely isn't coming back next year, I hate to tell you folks that this, but there's a very good chance number 10 is the quarterback in this team next season.
I agree. I think if he doesn't retire, I can see him definitely being the quarterback of this team next season. Chris, we got to talk about one more guy on offense, because if we don't, I will never forgive myself. We got to talk about the job Sterling Shepard did. Now, Sterling Shepard, this is a perfect example of why you should not look at just stats, because stats do not tell the whole story. So if you hadn't watched this game and you looked at the box score, you would see Sterling Shepard, 2 receptions out of 6 pass targets, 17 yards, 1 touchdown, a 3-yard touchdown reception. And you'd say, eh, that's not an impressive game. But let me tell you something. This kid, with his downfield blocking, I mean, he had a couple of blocks, including one in which he destroyed Josh Norman. You don't think he probably got up and said, hey, Odell says hi?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, yeah. But Shep came about 40 yards of that play. And Saquon talked about it after the game. He goes, all of a sudden, he sees this blur coming to his right, and it was Shepard. And he blew up Josh Norman, right? Mm-hmm. you know what, Patty? When Pat Shurmur talks about football players, he loves football players. Guys that are wide like football players, he's talking about Sterling Shepard. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's Shep doing his thing out there, throwing blocks all over the place. And how about when Shep came back, Pat, and broke up that potential interception that Eli threw at the goal line?
Yes, I was just going to mention that next. You're absolutely right. That was a huge play.
Patty, this is what football players do. You know, you just don't run. You know, when it's a running play, you just don't do your little 2 yard and stop and do this half, you know, watt block. You go out there and you hit your guy. You hit the cornerback opposite you. You go downfield, you throw a block for your running back who's out in the open. You come back and break up a possible interception. This is what football players do. And this is what Shep does. Sterling Shepard is a football player, Pat. He showed it today again.
He sure did. One of the underrated ones on this offense. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we got to talk about this defense, Chris. My gosh. So stay with us, Giant fans. We'll be right back. The Locked On Podcast Network is doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Locked On NFL Net to get all the latest breaking news and game highlights from the Locked On Podcast Network NFL hosts, all on one convenient feed. On Instagram, Locked On NFL Net gives you the biggest stories, including audio cuts as provided by the various Locked On NFL team hosts. Make sure you follow Locked On NFL Net on both Twitter and Instagram to get your daily fill of the NFL.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. You're with Patricia Traina and special guest Chris Bisignano of the Giant Insider, and we are celebrating a victory Monday. The Giants just totally having their way with Washington, beating them score 40-16. Josh Norman, I think, said it best. I wish I had the sound clip. I'm going to see if I can find the sound clip and put it in the show someplace, saying something to the effect of, they took us out back to the woodshed and basically spanked our butts. I mean, that was awesome. That was a great quote. But
yeah, at least Josh was honest, right, Pat?
yeah, exactly. And, you know, speaking of defense, let's talk about the Giant defense and the job they did. Now, we knew coming in that Mark Sanchez, the former Jets quarterback, was going to be the starter. But we also knew that, you know, he had only been with Washington for a couple of weeks, hadn't really, you know, gotten a good handle on the offense. So we all figured, you know, that Washington was going to run Adrian Peterson and try to, you know, win the game that way. And the Giants right away shut him down. Chris, what did you see from the Giants' run defense?
I saw guys beating their blockers, Pat. Mm. I saw Dalvin Thomason. I saw Ogletree, very active. Okay, I saw Dalvin. I saw B.J. Hill. I saw them beating the guys in front of them, Pat. Clogging those gaps, A gaps and the B gaps. You know, Peterson had nowhere to run, Pat. You know where to run. Yeah, what did he wind up? 10 carries, 16 yards. The first quarter he did. Yeah. Listen, they tried to run the ball, obviously, with Peterson so they could loosen up a little bit for Sanchez. It didn't work out. Okay, they shut Peterson down. The Giants says, okay, Mark, you're going to have to beat us. And we know that's probably going to work out pretty good when Sanchez has to beat you. Okay? Mm-hmm. So it was an excellent job. I Alec Ogletree has played two great games in a row now, Pat. Two great games in a row. Very active. Backfield shedding blockers, Pat. I'm watching him today, and it's something he's had an issue with early in the year, shedding blockers. Today did that well again, okay? Nice run support for Mike Thomas from the safety position. Linebackers playing well. Guys up front. How about Josh Wall? Very active. Mm-hmm. Kenny Wynn, once again, very active. And you know what, Pat? How about Olivier Vernon? Can we talk about him a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Olivier, a couple more sacks today. Played well on the edge. Played a heck of a game. Second game in a row. You know what, folks? His ankle, the high ankle sprain, is almost fully healed. He's showing it now. The guys play well. I thought Kareem Martin was pretty active today. So just a solid all-around effort, Pat.
Yeah, you know, looking at the stats here, Chris, 7 tackles for a loss. That's pretty good. 5 sacks. The 3 interceptions, 2 of which came against Sanchez. And I'm just going to – I wrote something for Forbes. I'm just going to – let me just find this real quick. Some statistics that I had. The Giants had, if I'm not mistaken, 10 sacks in the first 8 game, I believe.
They have 14 sacks in their last five games. So the sacks are starting to come.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing with the interceptions.
Yeah, 10 in the last two games, Pat, sack-wise, you know. Yeah. Three picks today. How about the pick sixes, Pat?
Yes.
We have a pick six. Giants got a pick six, three of the last four games.
I know. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, listen, Pat, you know, this is what it's all about. This is, you know, Betcher, I thought Betcher was aggressive at the right times today, too. And you listen, when your defense is getting the ball for your offense, and not only are they getting the ball for your offense, they're putting points on the board too, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So when they're doing that, man, it makes it a lot easier. And this is one of the reasons why they've won four of the last five.
Yes, indeedy. And let's see, just looking at some more stats here. Sanchez was 6 of 14, 38 yards, quarterback rating at 10.7. I think for most of the first half, if not all the first half, he had the big old Blutarski 0.0 quarterback rating.
Yeah, listen, I thought Mark, the first few series, a couple of his series dropped balls on him. That hurt him early on. They had some drops, but then after that, you know, he was throwing some bad, you know, he always gets his few deflections at the line, and sure enough, you know, Kareem Martin gets his big hand up there, deflects it, Riley brings it in for a pick, picks it off for pick six. And then he started throwing some bad balls, and then Gruden saw enough of that and put Johnson in there. And listen, it is what it is with Sanchez. But listen, Pat, when you stop the run game early and you leave it in Sanchez's hands, that's always a good thing, right? We just talked about that, and it worked out well for the Giants.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, I'm looking at the final defensive statistics. Anytime you see either a defensive lineman or a linebacker in your top five, that is a good sign. And the Giant defensive leaders in tackles, Ogletree with 8 total. Then he was followed by Mike Thomas, who was playing that down safety a little bit. He had 6. Vernon and Lorenzo Carter, who I still say that's my dream, you know, outside linebacker duel for 2019. I don't think it's going to happen, but that would be my dream scenario. They each had 5. And then you started to get into the defensive secondary. But that's how you want to see it, because if you're seeing defensive backs with leading the team in tackles, that means guys are getting past that first and second level of defense.
Yeah, Patty, I couldn't agree more. Listen, I love Landon Collins, but I don't like it when a safety's leading the team in tackles. I'm with you, Patty. I want to see linebackers leading the team in tackles, you know? I want to see guys up front. You know, and that's what they did say. Hey, listen, guys picked up the slack for Landon being out, like Mike Thomas. I mean, how great has Mike Thomas been this season for this team?
Oh, amazing. And can you believe the people? I had people on my Twitter timeline saying, oh, they should cut him and get the compensatory pick. I'm like, are you crazy? Mike Thomas has been a godsend.
Mike Thomas has been, listen, you know, Mike Thomas has been a heck of a player. You know what? And he came over here for special teams and all that, and he's been great on special teams. But he's been great on the defensive side of the ball, too. He's a highly ranked safety, according to PFF. Another nice interception today. That was a tough pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a tough. He had to show good hands in that today. That's the second time he's done that this season in the plus, in a negative territory for us. He's been an unbelievable find. I tell you, he's played great football. Gettleman's best free agent signing, in my opinion, by far, Pat.
Absolutely.
And you know what? Me and you notice. Personally, Patty, he's a great locker room guy. Great locker room guy. He's a leader. Other players love him. He's always coached up the rookies, and just an absolute find.
You know, he reminds me a lot of Deion Grant when he was here. It's same personality, same demeanor, same, you know, approach. You know, Deion Grant came over here. He was a longtime starter for Seattle. Came over here, became the third safety. You know, he embraced the role, even though it meant that he wouldn't be a starter, quote unquote, anymore, an official starter, even though I think with the Giants, he did end up starting more than his fair share. And he just became such an integral part of that defense, helped them win a championship. Mike Thomas is the same type of player, a tremendous guy, loves coaching up the young guys, like you said, and just, you know, the voice that you really need, a voice that was missing in that locker room as far as leadership goes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Mike's only in his league 5 years, and you would think he's in his league 15 years, the maturity that he has. And listen, he's no stranger to the dance now. Mike started 2 years for the Dolphins and played well for them. All right, and he had a little injury, you know, he lost some snaps and all that. But it's not, you know, putting Mike in that strong safety, it's not like you're putting some kid in there who doesn't know, you know, what the heck he's doing back there. you know, he's a football player, Mike, you know, and he's, listen, Pat, he was unbelievable again today. And special teams, forget about that. That's a given.
Yeah.
He's an excellent, like, Patty, I know you're pushing for him. Everybody's pushing for him. I hope he makes the Pro Bowl as a special teamer. Words can't explain it. He's just a great locker room guy. And I'm glad he's wearing the blue uniform.
You and me both. You and me both. And, of course, today on special teams, they did reduce some of his snaps because, you know, was expected to take a little larger role on defense, what with Landon out. And you know what? I something tells me, Chris, that if they had asked him to play, you know, 100 snaps, he would have gone out there and played them.
Oh, absolutely. That's the type of guy he is.
Absolutely.
That's the type of guy. Hey, Patty, did you see who made that one of the last tackles on special teams today? Oh, Jackrabbit. He was out there.
Yes, I saw him.
Kickoff. He was out there with that tackle. I was like, whoa, was that number 20 out there?
Yes.
You know, so, hey, special coach McGay, you know, throw some guys out there, man. I like it. You know what I mean? Throw some starters out there too, man. Jackrabbit with the tackle today. I was impressed to see that from old 20. I think he's played. Speaking of defense, Pat, I think Jackrabbit's been back to his Pro Bowl form the last 3-4 games.
I agree with you. I agree, definitely.
So he's been really good in that corner, mm-hmm. And I'm happy to see that he's gotten healthy. He talked about earlier in the week to the media that he was kind of banged up early in the year. He just doesn't like saying it. He looks totally healthy. And he's playing great football.
And he's got a terrific attitude this year. He finished this game with he was sixth on the team, 4 tackles, all solo. 1 tackle for a loss, 1 pass defense, and the aforementioned special team tackle. I mean, Jackrabbit's playing with a purpose. I mean, it's funny because in the locker room, you're there with me, Chris, and you hear the, you know, everybody asks, oh, do you think you'll be here next year? And, you know, everybody's worrying about what's going to happen in the offseason. And, you know, Jackrabbit's basically saying, look, I'm just worried about today. I'm just worried about, you know, playing football. I just want to play football, period.
Yeah, that's the type of kid he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he lets nothing bother him. You remember at the trade deadline? Remember at the trade deadline, Pat? His name was like the number one name that that people said, "Oh, they're going to move him." Remember? They're going to move him.
Yep.
And he didn't get. And he asked, you know, I remember being at his locker and people asking him about, "Hey, is this concern you? Are you worried about getting traded?" He was like, "No, I'm here to play football. If I get traded, I'll go play over there. Mm-hmm. If I don't get traded, I'll play right here. I'm just here to play football." That's his attitude, Jackrabbit. Nothing bothers him.
And that's good. That's good. That's what you want.
And that's great. Listen, that's the corner mentality, right, Pat? You need that as a corner because you're going to get beat at times.
You sure do.
You come back. You can't let it bother. You come back and play, you know, you got to come back and play your game. And that's what Jackrabbit has done, man. You know what? He's played excellent football. Patty, I'm going to throw last year away because it was a total mess,
mm-hmm.
all right,
mm-hmm.
with coaches. Of course, McAdoo, we all know that. So let's throw 2017 away. This is more like the 2016 Jackrabbit that we saw back, you know, a couple years ago, the Pro Bowl Jackrabbit. That's the level he's playing at right now.
Yes, he is. And I'll tell you what, if he and Vernon are going to be considered as potential salary cap cuts this offseason, they sure are making the decision hard these last couple of weeks.
I tell you what, Pat, yeah, I agree with you 100%. I tell you what, Shermer loves Jackrabbit. He considers him like a football player, too. He likes the way he's wired. He's a battler. And underrated part of his game, Pat, before I forget, how about the way he's playing the run, too, Jenkins?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up.
I mean, he's been real physical against the run.
Mm-hmm.
He's a solid corner now. We're talking about a solid corner here. You know what I mean? And he's playing it. I tell you what, Shermer loves him, man. He likes him. He likes the way he is wired. Loves his mentality. So, Patty, we talked about it. I mean, you talked about it personally. Like, at the beginning of the year, it was like, well, it looks like Jackrabbit's going to get it, right? The offseason, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Salary cap hit, the whole lot. I tell you what, Pat, I don't know anymore. I tell you, I could see him coming back next season. So even though he's going to be a big hit. But I wouldn't rule out him being back next year.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. But, you know, we still got time. And at when the time comes, we'll break all that stuff down and talk about it and look at the numbers. I know I'm going to do a whole big study on that and see exactly where they're going to try and come up with a few extra, you know, $1 million to take care of their needs next year. Chris, let's take our final break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up with some more on our Victory Monday special. So stay with us. Hey, Giant fans. Watching football is fun, but it's even more entertaining when you have some action on the games. Guys, you've heard me talking about this for weeks, and some of you are still on the sidelines. So whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you like to bet a little and win a lot, MyBookie gives you that chance. For example, pick three teams to win, and if you hit all three, you can turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on: college basketball, college football, NBA, NHL, and even esports. MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. MyBookie has been in business for years. They've got great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. Also, make sure you're following BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention and DM, not to mention they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers during this football season. Log on to MyBookie right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina, and I am joined by Chris Biziano of the Giant Insider, a good friend of mine. You got to check out his work. He and Jerry Foley, the senior editor, do a fantastic job. They have their own podcast. Chris will tell you about that at the end of the show, but always delight to have you on the program, Chris.
Well, Patty, you know me. You know how much I think of you. Thank you for having me on. I could go on every day if you had a podcast, Patty.
Oh, I appreciate you. So, Chris, let's get back to this Victory Monday, because there's a few numbers, miscellaneous numbers, that when I looked at the game book, I was like, whoa, man, this is amazing. And I got to start, you know, on Washington's side. They scored 16 points, but you know what, Chris? They had 15 penalties. Unreal, man. I thought they were going to match their point total.
Yeah, they really played a real bad game today, man. It wasn't a good reflection on Jay Gruden at all. I tell you what, defensively, Pat, I don't know about you, but it looked like a lot of guys were throwing a towel in that second half, man. I did not like the effort out of them. Like you said, the penalties was ridiculous. Not a good – I know, I understand they were down to the third quarterback. But you know what? They were still 6-6, playing for their playoff lives, playing at home, and they got blown out of their building, and it wasn't a good reflection on Coach Gruden.
No, it was not. And Chris, I gotta share this stat with you, because this stat absolutely fascinates me. This is the time of possession stat. The Giants had the ball a total of 30 minutes 9 seconds, scored 40 points in that 30 minutes and 9 seconds. Washington had it 29 minutes, 51 seconds, scored 16 points. Yep. Wow.
Yeah, well, that's what big plays will do for you, right? Saquon with a couple of big plays. We had a pick six, you know, interception setting us up. That 26 guy is pretty good, you know.
He gets the open
field, it's over. He's a home run hitter, Pat. He's a home run hitter. You know, he gets in that second level, boom, see ya. You know what I mean? And you saw it today, and the Giants had – listen, they had some big plays, you know. It wasn't like it was long time consuming drives. They had some big plays, and Riley had the pick six and all that. So, listen, Pat, there was a lot of skewed stats in the second half. You know, Washington had some two of those drives there, put some time of possession on. You know, Giants were playing really soft. So, but like you said, Pat, 30 minutes, 40 points. That's pretty impressive, boy.
And here's another little thing that I have to talk about, because I got to give kudos to Shermer and Dave Gettleman for this little detail. Now, if you remember, during the week, the Giants signed a left-footed punter. I think it was Brock Miller. Was that the young man's name? They signed a left-footed punter to their practice squad. Yeah. And the reason why they did that was because Tress Way, the Washington's punter, is a lefty. All right? So they figure, okay, we bring in a lefty, and we practice Jawill Davis, you know, so because the spin on the ball is a lot different when you're talking about a left-footed punter versus a right-footed punter.
Well, that little detail, Chris, paid off because Jawill Davis, 5 returns, 51 yards. That's an average of 10.2 yards per return. He had a long of 23. Yeah. That detail paid off.
Yeah, that's like a Belichick type move. That's what Bill does up in New England. Mm-hmm. He'll bring a guy in just for that purpose too, you know. Listen, I know Pat Shurmur has caught a lot of heat, Pat, at the beginning of this season. Mm-hmm. But he's a coach now, okay? And he had to make adjustments like everybody else. And he's doing that. And he's showing his mettle now. I mean, this guy, you know, he's made from that bye week on, Pat, he's done a lot of things differently, especially in the run game. And then you see little things like you just said. All right, let's bring in this lefty punter for the week so Jawill gets used to the lefty spin, because there's a different spin coming off a left footed punter's foot, okay? Things like that, man. You see that. And players notice that, Pat. Players in a locker room, they say, you know what? We have a coach here that's making sure every detail doesn't get by him. You know? And that's – players see that, Pat. Sure. Organizations see that. Gettleman, you know, he goes to Gettleman, all right, let's get the left foot. You know, John Mara sees that. People see that. And Shurmur, to me, has been a different coach, Patty, from the bye on. And it's really – this organization is reflecting that now. This team is reflecting that. The players really like him, Pat. And believe me when I tell you, Pat, little things like that, like you just mentioned, are huge in a locker room.
They sure are. And, you know, you mentioned Shurmur's been a different coach. I think one of the things that has impressed me the most about him since the bye week is that, unlike McAdoo, Shurmur has been willing to change. He's been willing to evolve and not just keep banging his head against the wall and insisting that, okay, we have to pass the ball 100 times a game in order to win the game. He's been flexible. He's taking care of the little details, and he's kind of adapted. You know, if the game plan that you come up with isn't working, you throw it out and you adjust accordingly to what is working.
Yeah, Patty. And I think he realized that, hey, I might have gotten away from 26 a little bit early in the year where I should have kept giving him the ball. I think, you know, and he's been doing that now the last 5 games, you know. I tell you what, Pat, just one quick thing. How about the Bears game? Going back to the last play of the game, the Bears game, where Jack Rabbit knocks that ball down. Mm-hmm. And after the game, what did Jack Rabbit say in the presser? That guess who called that last coverage on the defense? It was Shurmur.
Yeah.
Not Baxter.
Yeah.
You remember – Jack Rabbit said that he called for a zero coverage. Shurmur called for a zero coverage, left the back end to Jack Rabbit one-on-one. I was, when I read that, when I heard that, Pat, I was like, that's what I like. Give me a head coach that's involved in everything. Mm. Not like McAdoo, who had that stupid play sheet in front of his face. It had nothing to do with the defense. Okay? That's what I like about Shurmur. That was really impressive. He's been a different coach, Pat, since the bye week.
More confident, I would say.
Absolutely, Pat. More competent. You know, more competent. And like you said, he's made the right adjustments, Pat, to his personnel more in the second half. Better routes, Patty. Better schemes on the offensive end. You saw 2 receivers run nice routes, nice design routes today. You know, the one with Benny Fowler, the one with Russell Shepard. A lot more. This is the offensive mind that Shurmur brings.
And it's made such a big difference. You know, you can't underestimate coaching. And, you know, has Shurmur been perfect? Absolutely not.
No.
Who is yep. out there? But yep. he's pushing the right buttons. And the biggest thing that he has done, Chris, that to me is most impressive, is when the losing and the losses were all piling up, he could have very easily lost that locker room, you know, the way McAdoo did. But Shurmur found a way to keep that locker room together and stop them from splintering and just having the season totally spiral out of control.
What a great point, Patty. That's exactly what he has done. He has kept this locker room together, because you know what happens when teams start losing. Everybody starts pointing fingers. This isn't good. Oh, that's bad. This guy can't do that. This guy has preached, keep at it. To these players, just keep fighting. All right, I'll take the heat. You guys just keep fighting. Stick together. Keep fighting. And how many players do I talk to in the locker room, Pat? And I ask them, hey, what has Pat Shurmur brought to this team? And they all say the same thing. He's kept us together. He keeps telling us, just keep fighting and battling. I'm telling you, the results will be there. And guess what, Pat? The results have been there the second half of the season.
They believe and we believe, right?
Absolutely, Pat.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They love Coach Shermer. They love his calmness when the waters were rough. Eli Manning talked about it the other day. He kept the same personality, right? He kept everything calm. He didn't start losing it when they were 1-7. He didn't start pointing fingers like McAdoo did a few times with Eli. Remember that?
Yeah.
This season?
I do.
Okay. He just kept the plays together. He kept focusing. He kept believing in the 53 guys that are on this roster, Pat. And guess what? That pays off. That's huge, man, in the locker room. And the results are showing now.
I mean, there's something to be said when somebody believes in you. And I know with me, if somebody says, I have confidence in you, I'm going to rise to it and I'm going to do everything I can to justify and reward that person's confidence. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel.
Absolutely, Pat. And guess what, Patty? That's the way those guys feel in the locker room. Because I've asked numerous guys about Coach Shermer, and they all give me the same answer, Pat.
Yeah.
About the way he's just kept calm, kept confidence in the players and all that. And it's a tribute, like we said, like Patty, like he just said. Has he been perfect game management-wise and everything? No, absolutely not. He's made some mistakes. Yes, we understand that. But I tell you what, he's a leader, Pat. And these guys are followed behind him.
For sure. Chris, there's one more topic I want to talk about before we call it a show. And I neglected to mention this in the first segment when we talked about offense. Kyle Lauletta finally got some snaps today. And
yeah, he did. Well, it's the perfect time for it. Either they were going to be blown out, mathematically eliminated for the playoffs, or they were going to be blowing out somebody. And that's what happened today. And so, you know, it wasn't a surprise, Pat,
nope,
to see him get some snaps. And, yes, he finally got his feet wet a little bit. A little shaky, but, you know, it was his first time in there. So I was glad to see him get some snaps.
Yep, he didn't complete any of his five attempts. Did have an interception. I thought a couple times, and I've got to go back and look at the film to confirm, but on a couple plays it looked like he was just bird-dogging his receivers. You know, it was good to get him in there, let him get his feet wet. And I, of course, now I have people saying, oh my God, Kyle Lauletta sucks, we got to get another quarterback.
Yeah,
and I'm like, guys, calm down, it's only a handful of snaps.
Yeah.
You know, but I do want to make one last point about this is a reason why I think we did not see Lauletta earlier. You know, in addition to the fact that, you know, Shermer wants to win each game, you don't put a guy in there until he is ready to do so. That's why for weeks and weeks and weeks, Lauletta was number three. He came from a smaller program. And this isn't new, Chris. This is something Shermer himself has said.
Numerous times.
He came from a smaller program. Okay, you had to get him up to speed. He had a little bit more of a learning curve to adjust to. And, he, you know, at one point, you know, he passed Alex Tanny, caught up to him, I should say, and they were able to advance him, you know, to take a look at what he had. And for those of you who are worrying, oh my God, the Giants have garbage behind Eli Manning, or they're in trouble, or they better get another quarterback, I just don't think you can make that judgment off of this one performance.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Lauletta, when he was in college, he wasn't playing in the SEC, okay? He wasn't playing Alabama, Florida, LSU, and all that. It takes a lot. You know, it's a big adjustment from a small school playing in the NFL, and it takes a while. Now, I know people are panicking, but, you know, it's his first time in there. You can't go by today, all right? To say the kid stinks, oh, we don't have no backup quarterback, now we have to go out and get one because this kid, you know, everybody has to pump the brakes with that. Let the kid keep playing. You know, we'll see what happens down the last three games. You know, if they get mathematically eliminated, if they lose next week, then you might see more of them. But it's just a matter of, listen, the kid's got to get reps, right? It has to get reps. This is a tough league, Pat.
Yes, it is.
You know, you just don't come off, you know, come on the field and start winging the ball all over the lot as a rookie, Pat. So
exactly. Well, definitely a impressive game, an impressive showing. You know, regardless of what anybody says, Washington, they get paid too. You know, they came to play too. And I'm sure they did not want to lose on their home field to you know, a rival who, you know, has now, by the way, I think you saw the stat, Chris. The Giants became the first NFL team to beat a regular season opponent 100 times in the history of the NFL. So that quite an accomplishment there.
Yeah, it was. I kind of wish it was the Eagles more, but yeah. But yeah, I'll
Patience,
take it.
patience. That's
That's
going to
quite
come
a.
eventually. I mean, I don't know if we're going to be alive when that happens, because
I don't know
I
if we're going to be alive, Pat, the way it's going, but yeah, but no, but all kidding aside, yeah, it's
yes.
quite an accomplishment.
Yes, definitely. All right, Chris, listen, it's been a great time talking football with you. As always, tell everybody where they can find all your work.
Right for the Giant Insider, a bi-weekly newspaper. Twice a month during the season, once after the season, and you can find me and Jerry Foley on Twitter at Giant Insider, and our podcast on Monday and Thursday nights. Me and Jerry do the podcast, the Giant Insider podcast. And Patty, it's always a pleasure, sweetheart. I'll see you during the week.
Absolutely. Thank you as always for coming on with me, Chris. And Giant fans, thank you for listening. We were glad to share a Victory Monday with you. Don't forget, tomorrow is Twitter Tuesday. Get those questions into me. You can send them to LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet them to me at Patricia_Traina. Make sure you tag them Ask P Train, PTRAIN. So this way I see them. Thank you as always for listening. Patricia Traina signing off.